College English Test, Band 4. Part 2, Listening Comprehension.
Section A, Directions. In this section, you will hear 8 short conversations and 2 long conversations. At the end of each conversation, one or more questions will be asked about what was said. Both the conversation and the questions will be spoken only once.After each question, there will be a pause. During the pause, you must read the 4 choices marked A, B, C, and D and decide which is the best answer. Then, mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 1 with a single line through the center. Now let's begin with the 8 short conversations.
Question 1. Hello, Mr. Harrison. Thanks for calling.Now, when would it be good for you to visit our company?
Well, in fact, I can come almost any time next month, and probably toward the end of the week would be best for me.
What are the speakers talking about? Question 2. Can you help me find a book on South America?
What specifically would you like to know about? We catalogue our books in many different ways.
Where does the conversation most probably take place?
Question 3. I'm trying to make a call to New York and haven't been able to get through. Can you help me?
Sure. Try my phone.
What is the man's problem? Question 4.I have to go to Professor Hudson's office to discuss my thesis. If time allows, I'd like to go to the movies with you when I come back.
I don't think I can make it. I'm going shopping with Jane right now.
What is the man going to do first?
Question 5. Why are you so upset and worried?
I've been racking my brains all morning, trying to recall where I put my gold watch, but it has been in vain.
What do we learn about the man?Question 6. I thought you said you were going to call me last week about the car I'm selling.
Oh, I'm sorry. It completely slipped my mind.
What does the man mean? Question 7.I tried to catch the bus, but couldn't make it, so I'm late for class.
Another excuse. Are you ready for what you'll say tomorrow?
What does the man imply about the woman?
Question 8.The apartment building I live in is going to be torn down before the end of this month. I don't know what to do.
Well, my brother is a real estate agent. He can help you out, I think.
What do we learn about the man?
Now you hear the two long conversations. Conversation 1.
Ace Employment Agency, good morning.
Good morning. I wonder if you can help me. I'm looking for a job.
I'll see what we can do. Have you been to us before?
No, but you've managed to get jobs for some of my friends. So I thought perhaps, you know...
Yes, I see. First of all, could you give me your full name?
Yes, of course. Susan Hollis.
Good. And could I have your phone number?
Yes. 77 88 992.
Fine. And your date of birth, please?
February 3rd, 1980.
Thank you. Now, education. Which school did you go to?
I went to a secondary school in Southtown.
And have you been to college?
No. I left full-time education when I was 18.
I see. Any qualifications?
Yes. I gained a shorthand and typing diploma at evening classes.
That's good. Now, where are you working at the moment?
Well, I've got a job as a shorthand typist, but I'm not enjoying it very much, and it doesn't pay very well.
I see. Have you applied for any other jobs?
Yes. I thought I'd like to be a policewoman, but they turned me down because I was too short.
What would you like to do now, then?
Well, I think I'd like to work in a travel agency.
I see. I think the best thing is for me to see what we might find for you, and then...
Questions 9 to 11 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Question 9. How did the woman get to know about the man's company? Question 10. What formal education did the woman receive? Question 11. What do we learn about the woman's occupation?
Conversation 2.
Steve, can you tell me how long you've been a pub owner?
Well, 4 years, I suppose. I've been involved with pubs off and on for 10 years. I've sort of done hotel work, and I've also run a restaurant pub. And now I've got what you call a good old-fashioned pub. That is, a public bar with all the social games going with it, which is what we've always wanted to have, you know.
It sounds like you've always worked in pubs, but not always in this one.
No, no. I've worked in quite a variety of pubs.
What makes a good pub? I mean, you said, you know, it has got a good variety of things.
Well, I think having the right customers to start with, selling the right beer, keeping it good, and most of all, keeping a good attitude yourself, even though you probably feel very tired. But the ideal is, if you generate it from your side, it's got to affect the other side, if you're getting the right customers in.
Yeah, I must say that's one thing that's always struck me about being a pub owner. I mean, a lot of people seem to think that it's a nice job, you know. Everybody says, oh, I'd love to retire and get a country pub, but it seems to me that it's actually very hard work.
Questions 12 to 15 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Question 12. What does the man say about his involvement with pubs? What characterizes the old-fashioned pub, according to the man? Question 14. What does the man say is most important in making a good pub? Question 15. What does the woman think of running a country pub?
Section B. Directions. In this section, you will hear three short passages. At the end of each passage, you will hear some questions. Both the passage and the questions will be spoken only once. After you hear a question, you must choose the best answer from the four choices marked A, B, C, and D. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 1 with a single line through the center. Passage 1. To help ourselves and others, it's important to know something about drugs. A drug is a chemical substance. It can bring about a physical, emotional, or mental change in people. Alcohol and tobacco are drugs. Caffeine, a substance found in coffee and some soft drinks, is also a drug. Drug abuse is the use of a drug, legal or illegal, that hurts a person or someone close to him. A drug user is the person who takes the drug. There are many kinds of drug users. Experimental users may try drugs once or twice. They want to see what the effects will be. Recreational users take drugs to get high. They use drugs with friends or at parties to get into the mood of things. Regular users take drugs all the time, but they are often able to keep up with the normal routine of work. Dependent users can't relate to anything but drugs. Their whole life centers around drugs. They feel extreme mental or physical pain without drugs. It's not always easy to tell if someone is using drugs. In the early stages, drug use is often hard to see. Sometimes people like drugs or need drugs so much they can't do without them. They're dependent upon drugs. Only a few kinds of drugs can cause physical dependence. But almost any drug, when it's misused, can make a person think he needs it all the time. By this time, it's too late, and the person is hooked.
Questions 16 to 18 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 16. What does the speaker say about drug abuse? Question 17. What does the speaker say about recreational drug users? Question 18. What does the speaker say about drug dependence? Passage 2. According to Charles Harper, chairman of ConAgra, the Healthy Choice line of frozen dinners began with his own heart attack. It had been brought on by years of eating anything he could get his hands on. As he lay in the hospital recovering, Harper imagined a line of healthy frozen foods that tasted good. The Healthy Choice product line was carefully tested with consumers before being introduced to the general public. ConAgra's research and development staff spent a year working under the instruction, "Whatever the cost, don't sacrifice taste." The first test market results surprised even the Conagra team. The low-sodium, low-fat frozen dinners sold much better than expected. According to the firm's vice president of marketing and sales, "We benefited from low expectations. The products were much better than people thought they would be." This finding supported Conagra's decision to position the product against other high-quality frozen dinners rather than as a diet or health food. The new product's brand name and packaging were an important part of the development process. The name Healthy Choice was chosen for the positive implication it held for consumers. Because Conagra felt the product would be an impulse purchase, it was important to make the items stand out in the freezer case. This was accomplished through the dark green packaging that not only differed from the competitors, but also suggested freshness and richness in vitamins.
Questions 19 to 22 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 19. What did Charles Harper think of while he was in hospital? Question 20. What does the passage say about the Health Choice product line before it went to market? Question 21. What is said to contribute to Conagra's business success? Question 22. What does the speaker say about the name Healthy Choice? Passage 3. In the United States, 36 states currently allow capital punishment for serious crimes such as murder. Americans have always argued about the death penalty. Today, there is a serious question about this issue. Should there be a minimum age limit for executing criminals? In other words, is it right for convicted murderers who kill when they are minors, that is, under the age of 18, to receive the death penalty? In most other countries of the world, there is no capital punishment for minors. In the United States, though, each state makes its own decision. Of the 36 states that allow the death penalty, 30 permit the execution of minors. In the state of South Carolina, a convicted murderer was given the death penalty for a crime he committed while he was a minor. In 1977, when he was 17 years old, James Terry Roach and two friends cruelly murdered three people. Roach's lawyer fought the decision to execute him. The young murderer remained on death row for 10 years while his lawyer appealed to the governor. The lawyer argued that it is wrong to execute a person for a crime he committed while he was a minor. In the United States, the governor of a state has the power to change a sentence from the death penalty to life in prison. Nonetheless, the governor of South Carolina refused to stop the execution. Roach was finally executed in 1986.
Questions 23 to 25 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 23. What does the speaker say about the death penalty in the United States? 24. What is the focus of the debate around the death penalty? Question 25. What does the speaker say about James Terry Roach?
Section C. Directions. In this section, you will hear a passage three times. When the passage is read for the first time, you should listen carefully for its general idea. When the passage is read for the second time, you are required to fill in the blanks with the exact words you have just heard. Finally, when the passage is read for the third time, you should check what you have written. Now listen to the passage.
Some people borrow money and forget to pay it back. Large loans are seldom the issue. They are usually treated as business transactions with the terms spelled out on paper. But many women suffer in silence over problems like Carol's. My friend Ginny is always short of cash, she says. I hate to recall how often I've loaned her a dollar or two for a drink or a movie. Each loan is so small, I'd feel really cheap making a big deal out of it. Still, I do resent the fact that she never pays me back. Carol admits to being too embarrassed or something to demand repayment, but she has resolved to stop lending money to Ginny. The last time she asked for $5 to pay for her dry cleaning, I just told her I couldn't spare it. Another woman suggests a bolder response. When somebody refuses to repay a loan, I turn the tables by requesting one myself, she says. I left home without my wallet, I'll say. Can you lend me enough to cover lunch? Then, when the money is safely in hand, I am struck by a sudden realization. Why, this is exactly the amount I loaned you last week. How convenient. Now you won't have to repay me. She says it works like a charm.
Now the passage will be read again. Some people borrow money and forget to pay it back. Large loans are seldom the issue. They are usually treated as business transactions, with the terms spelled out on paper. But many women suffer in silence over problems like Carol's. My friend Ginny is always short of cash, she says. I hate to recall how often I've loaned her a dollar or two for a drink or a movie. Each loan is so small, I'd feel really cheap making a big deal out of it. Still, I do resent the fact that she never pays me back. Carol admits to being too embarrassed or something to demand repayment, but she has resolved to stop lending money to Ginny. The last time she asked for $5 to pay for her dry cleaning, I just told her I couldn't spare it. Another woman suggests a bolder response. When somebody refuses to repay a loan, I turn the tables by requesting one myself, she says. I left home without my wallet, I'll say. Can you lend me enough to cover lunch? Then, when the money is safely in hand, I am struck by a sudden realization. Why, this is exactly the amount I loaned you last week. How convenient. Now you won't have to repay me. She says it works like a charm.
Now the passage will be read for the third time. Some people borrow money and forget to pay it back. Large loans are seldom the issue. They are usually treated as business transactions with the terms spelled out on paper. But many women suffer in silence over problems like Carol's. My friend Ginny is always short of cash, she says. I hate to recall how often I've loaned her a dollar or two for a drink or a movie. Each loan is so small, I'd feel really cheap making a big deal out of it. Still, I do resent the fact that she never pays me back. Carol admits to being too embarrassed or something to demand repayment, but she has resolved to stop lending money to Ginny. The last time she asked for $5 to pay for her dry cleaning, I just told her I couldn't spare it. Another woman suggests a bolder response. When somebody refuses to repay a loan, I turn the tables by requesting one myself, she says. I left home without my wallet, I'll say. Can you lend me enough to cover lunch? Then, when the money is safely in hand, I am struck by a sudden realization. Why, this is exactly the amount I loaned you last week. How convenient. Now you won't have to repay me. She says it works like a charm.
This is the end of listening comprehension.